Hey, open up your Bibles to the book of Psalms. That's that big one near the middle. And open up to Psalm number 46. Psalm 46. Open your Bibles to Psalm 46. If you don't have a Bible, you can find one right there in the book rack in front of you. And it is good to be with you. It is summertime. It is a great time to be able to be reset and refreshed in the Lord. And we started talking about that last week, about just what it means to have a kind of a refreshing in Jesus, to kind of be rejuvenated in our relationship with Him. It is difficult sometimes, is it not, to be able to just simply come to church and not have all of that noise of our lives going on in the background. It's oftentimes difficult for us because we come out of a school year, we come out of a school year time for those of us that are out of school, and our lives have gotten into some unhealthy habits and some unhealthy patterns. And so I want to invite you back. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want to invite you back into a refreshing, washing of relationship with Jesus Christ. When you come to Jesus, what kind of expectations do you bring to the table? Do you find yourself this morning, like it says on your outline, do times of exhaustion, tiredness, fatigue, do these things catch you by surprise? Do these things happen and then you're like, man, that came out of nowhere. I thought I was doing well. I thought everything was fine, and boom, I am laid flat. Suddenly, I am in a place that I did not anticipate, I did not see coming. This just took me by surprise. Hear these verses from Psalm 46 this morning. They are truly for you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And in some of your Bibles, it'll say right next to it, Selah, which is a pause. We would modernly say, amen, or God do this thing, or we would affirm what has been said. That's what Selah means. It's just a quick pause to just say, all right, God, make these words true. Pour them in to my heart. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. So I ask you again, do times of exhaustion, tiredness, and fatigue catch you by kind of a repetitious surprise? Have you noticed that there's a repetition in our lives, that we get just caught kind of flat-footed? We get caught suddenly tired and distant from God. Things are going one way or another way in our lives, and suddenly we find ourselves right back in a place where we would say, gosh, God seems so far away. God seems like he is at such a distant place. Whenever I approach him, I feel like I need to get reacquainted, because he It's far away. You know, there's something that I loved. I went through a course, in fact, I went through it with many of you, called Financial Peace University a couple of years ago. It's Dave Ramsey's financial course. I know I see a lot of heads nodding, and a lot of us went through that. And Dave Ramsey said this about finances. In fact, I even put it up. Do you have unexpected expenses? Do you have that in your life? Like financially, do you have unexpected things that happen, surprises, financial emergencies because of a car, of home repairs, or unplanned medical bills? Do those expenses keep surprising you? Do these things set you back financially? I would say that for most of us, we would say yes. Dave Ramsey says, I have some good news for you. You are not experiencing financial emergencies. We call those regular expenses. If they keep on happening, quit calling them emergencies. They aren't emergencies. They simply need to be part of your budget. That makes sense, doesn't it? If every other month we're like, oh, the car broke down. Hey, I got news for you. You got a cruddy car, and it breaks down every month. It's probably better than a car payment, but you're going to have to put that into the budget and keep fixing it, right? Medical bills? Really? Your body's breaking down? Wow, that's a shocker. I'm a month off, actually less than that, off of 50 years old. I got stuff breaking down I didn't even know existed, right? Like, of course it's going to break down. Your home needs repair? Really? You mean stuff doesn't repair itself? These are all examples of expenses, financial expenses in our lives that they just need regular maintenance. We should incorporate them into our budgets. See, God has made the physical world very similar to our spiritual lives. Do you find yourself breaking down? Do you find yourself exhausted spiritually? Do you find yourself distant from God spiritually? Do you find yourself full of fatigue? When Jesse stands up here and says, hey, where could you volunteer? Do you just go, oh, I'm so tired. I've done so much. I have nothing left. You're just breaking down. Now, I'm not, by no means am I criticizing. If you are not in a place where you can serve, I'm not trying to force that on anybody. What I am saying is, if this keeps happening in our lives, and I sense that sometimes it does, we need to come back to a place of refreshment. We need to come back to a place where we can experience what these verses are speaking to. Look at that first verse again. God is our refuge and strength. This is the relationship that God offers you this morning. A place of refuge, of safety, of protection, and strength, of power, of vitality. A very present help in trouble. It's a hard word, that very present help. It's a hard word to translate because it's got a lot of depth and a lot of breadth to itself. And what it simply means is that God, trusting in God, trusting your life to Him, sheltering yourself, having the covering of God in your life actually is a, not just very present, it is a reliable help. It is something that is proven itself over and over and over again. And so God is not something that is just for your eternal future, which is sometimes how we feel about it, right? God's forgiven me of my sins. I've got a good relationship with Him. I'm going to go to heaven. Woo! All is good. The gospel of Jesus Christ says that it does not just make a difference in the future. It makes a difference today, right now. He is a very present help in the midst of all of our trouble. God has established for us rhythms which when we intentionally rest in God, prevent these kinds of repetitious surprises. In the same way that we budget financially and by storing up financially, we are able to weather the emergencies in our lives. And in fact, Dave Ramsey does not just stop with, hey, why don't you budget for those emergencies? He actually encourages people to do what? Set up an emergency fund. Have $1,000 that you have set aside for an emergency fund so that when things break down, and maybe we live in an area where an emergency fund would be more than that. I know some of you are thinking, oh, I wish my emergencies were $1,000. Perhaps yours are more. And so that would mean, right, you store up more. Perhaps your spiritual life needs more. And that means that we store up more. What these verses are speaking to, what these verses are saying, are not, hey, in the midst of emergency, go running to God. What they're saying is, when we rest in the Lord, when we rhythmically live according to the way that He has designed for us, that it will actually produce a life that is able to maintain relationship and maintain its goodness, its peace, its strength, its refuge, its power, even in the midst of what we are dealing with. Let me show you what I mean. Then let's enter into that section that says recovering. What do I mean when I talk about this intentional rest in God? Verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, or because of this, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. I just got back from Yosemite yesterday with my family. We love going up to Yosemite the day after Father's Day every year. And we got to see spectacular, amazing things. But one of the things that happened in one of the entrances just this last week was there was a giant rock slide. 4,000 tons of rock came down the side of one of the mountains that is an entrance into Yosemite and shut the road down. They were actually able to open it back up the day before we headed up there. Right? They got it open on Father's Day. And so we were able to drive up, and it was no big deal. But gigantic catastrophic events happen around us, don't they? A lot of you have seen Highway 1 up through Big Sur. It's closed down still because a quarter mile rock slide came down the hill and took out the entire highway. A quarter mile. Picture that. A rock slide coming down. Both of these rock slides did not hit anybody, which is flat out miraculous in our state. But what does this speak to? There are things that are beyond your knowledge or control, are what these verses say. There are experiences that you will have in this life and you will never, ever see them coming. The end of this chapter, because of these Selahs, and I'll explain that in a section, it's broken into three sections. Right at the very end of it, it says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. By regularly practicing being still and knowing that I am God, simply a great phrase for saying, do you Sabbath with God? Do you rest in Him? Do you, if I asked you right now, my wife and I were talking about this on our way home yesterday, and she says, I need practical examples of this stuff. And she gave me this example, and so I'm gonna use it. Do me a favor, set your stuff down. I see a lot of you carrying stuff. So put it down, just for a sec. I'll let you get back to it. I know it's your Bible. Put it down. Just put your hands in your lap. Hands in the lap. Not on your wife, not on your boyfriend. Lap. Close your eyes. Be still right now. And I want you, in your heart of hearts, to know the God of these verses in your soul. Now, I hope you can open your eyes, pick your stuff back up, and return to what we were doing. Now, perhaps in this environment, some of you are like, okay, this is weird. Like, we don't just sit here and quiet ourselves. Some of you might have been like, I'm falling asleep. Don't make me close my eyes and be still because I'm out. Others of you, that was very enjoyable. You'd probably prefer just to do that this morning and rest in God than do anything else. Isn't it interesting, though? Did you hear the hum of the air conditioning? Did you hear the road outside? Were your senses heightened to other things? When we are still, it changes our very perceptions. It changes the way that we perceive things. God has designed you and I to regularly rest and be still and know that He is God, to perceive Him in ways that we cannot and do not in our regular lives. And if you find yourself, like I often do, being surprised by how fatigued, how exhausted, how separated from God that we can become, I invite you back again this morning as summertime launches in and we set up new rhythms and we've got vacations and all these other things going on. Could I call you back to a God who loves and has designed you for spending time with Him, that it would bring recovery to your soul? Because intentional rest in God does not just prevent repetitious surprises. It also provides a covering. That's literally the word. It's a covering. It's a shield. It's a tent that God and I dwell in together. It provides this covering for us to protect us from catastrophic loss. Now, if a catastrophic loss happens in your life, there's nothing you are going to be able to do about that. We know a few things in California about the earth moving and things, you know, falling into the abyss and buildings tipping over. I mean, we all also know that hardly ever happens, and the news crews make a bigger deal out of it than it really is. But all that to say, we live in an area where when we read these verses about the earth giving way and mountains being moved and waters roaring and foaming, the mountains trembling, we're like, yeah, amen, like we get it. Anybody that's lived here for a while understands that. Sorry, Jesse. Jesse's very, very scared of earthquakes. We had a small one during a staff meeting one time, and this poor man nearly died right there. What's my encouragement? It's right here. Take refuge in God, even when things happen that are outside of your control. And I know, I've known many of you over these last 20 plus years, I know some of the catastrophic loss that has happened in our lives. I know the painful things, the things that took us by surprise. That's what these verses are about. This first Selah is to say that no matter what happens around me, all the things that are out of my control, I still find my refuge in God. When you're in the middle of a catastrophic event, that might not be the first thing you think of unless you have stored up regular times and regular experiences and regular rest in God. That is what will sustain you through difficult times. Let's face it. If you don't save up financially and you have an actual emergency that happens, like your car blows up, it's not like you can go to your bank and just say, hey, you know what? I should have saved, but I didn't. Could you give me $5,000? So I can just like get a car to run around in? What are they going to say to you? Yeah, you can do that, but it's going to cost you way more than that. The people just don't hand out. We must become people that practice the rhythms that God has designed for us. You know that it says, and I appreciate this so much after this week in Yosemite, it says in Exodus 20 when it's talking about the Sabbath day that we are to observe the Sabbath day. And it is connected to the wonder and the goodness of God's creation. There is an element to Sabbath of getting outside of man-made things and connecting with the creation that God has provided to us. And the only way we can do that is to stop working so hard at what we do. perhaps putting down our tools, putting down our vacuum cleaners, putting down our Netflix binging, and all these other things that we do to creature comfort ourselves, and stepping outside and being still and knowing that God has made it all. Maybe these things set us into, and I would say not maybe, these things set us into places where no matter what is torn apart around us, no matter what catastrophe happens, we are able to trust in God in the midst of them. This intentional rest in God, it provides peace and calm despite the shocking events that might happen around us. God is not just here to become our eternal Savior. He came to provide for us as a present help right now in the circumstances that you are facing today. He loves you. And He desires to spend time with you. I asked you just to do something very simple, almost arbitrary. Just close your eyes, put your hands on your lap, set all your stuff aside. Close your eyes and be still. And know that He is God. What came into your mind? What floods your senses? Are you able to spend that kind of time with God? I bet a lot of us would say, no, I can't, I don't, I won't. I become guilty for my sin. I'm overwhelmed by the circumstances. The list that is supposed, my to-do list that is in my mental brain just goes, boom! Hello, you've got so much to do. Would you open your eyes and do? Can you tell I emotionally relate to that? This does take practice. But look at the promise that God provides, because He doesn't stop at catastrophic world events that are out of our control. He goes to things that are actually in the control, things that are happening around us, the nation, the way things affect God's people. Take a look at these verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Of course, we have to remember that this is a psalm. It's written in the Old Testament. Where was the holy habitation of God? It was the Holy of Holies, the center of the temple complex, the city of Jerusalem. That was the city of God. And in the middle of the city of God was the very presence of God. It's called the Shekinah glory of God, a glory that is so bright that when it was around Moses, he glowed like radioactively for a few days. It was an extraordinary thing. And the Jews revered the temple complex. They revered that this was the dwelling place of God in the midst of His people. But when God promised Messiah, He said what? I will not dwell in the houses of men. I will dwell in the hearts of my people. And I will write my law onto their heart. They will know me and I will know them, and I will dwell in the midst of them. That does not mean the midst of a church. That means the midst of your and my heart. Listen to that. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That's what we are called, is it not? We are called the city of God. We are in the New Testament, in this new promise of God. We are included in His family. We are built into the city. God dwells in the midst of our hearts. The river that runs through the city of God is the Spirit of God. It says at the end of the book of Revelation that streams of living water will flow right from the city of God. This is the Spirit of God in the midst of our lives, the holy habitation, the holy dwelling place, the holy tent of our God, the tabernacle, you and me. What a great verse. In this time period when it was written, the Jews would have simply thought of the temple. For us, knowing what God has done through Jesus Christ, it allows us to incorporate this into our everyday lives. We do not have to go to the temple to be with God. God has promised in Christ that he will be with us, Emmanuel, God with us, in the midst of his people. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. That's always the fear when we're under attack, the morning dawning. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts, that is a military term, by the way. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the hosts of heaven, the armies of heaven, the angels of heaven, not up there, little naked cherubs floating on clouds playing harps, but armed angels that are ready for war under the leadership of the Lord of the host. He is with us. The God of Jacob, the one that wrestled and was preserved by God, who walks with the limp of knowing what it means to wrestle with God in his life. The God of Jacob, isn't that great? In the middle of this psalm, he picks Jacob, who wrestled with the angel. He picks Jacob and says, the God of Jacob, that is our fortress. The one who preserves, the one who keeps, the one who protects. The one who, when he touches you, he ruins you for the better. Ruins us for the better. Selah. God, make it so in our lives. Rest in God keeps our focus on his sovereign control. That's a really Christian-y phrase right there, sovereign. You don't use that very much. You don't go to Starbucks and, you know, what would you like to drink? It is under your sovereign control. What would you like to give me? You know, we don't say, it's weird, that would be creepy and that kind of thing. And so sovereign is one of those, you know, Christian words that gets thrown around. And it essentially means that God stands outside of anything that we know of in the human realm. He is outside of time. He is outside of flesh and blood. He is outside of all of these things. God stands above and beyond all these things in such a way that he is in control, the beginning to the end, almost as though all of history is like a tapestry to God. He is in all places at all times, all at once, interacting with everything that has happened in the past and happened in the future in the eternal present. Now, I'm trying to use an illustration. Please don't get all geeky and geek out and just be like, whoa, what if there's a thread missing? You know, just stop. All right? Resting in God reminds us, stepping outside of our human homes and stepping outside into the world reminds us that he is in sovereign control over all things. That long before you and I existed, long before humanity existed, God had already created, and he created the earth, and he created places simply for his enjoyment and his dwelling and his glory. And then he decided to share it with you and me. What a great way of looking at the creation that is around us, maintaining this kind of heaven-bound future focus, knowing that God is in control of all the things around us, provides us with security and stability. Knowing that God is in control provides us right now today with security and stability. If you don't like something that gets pumped out on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, you're like, why is the president doing this? Or why doesn't he do that? Or why did he tweet this? Or whatever it is that we get concerned about with our own. Be still. God is above all these things. What is your confidence in? When I walk in my backyard and I look at the awning that's rotting and falling off the side of my house and I think, where am I going to get the money to pay for all these kinds of things? Stuff doesn't fix itself. Stop. It's okay. God is in control. He is a very present help in the midst of our trouble, and it should allow us to refocus on him. I believe there is a refreshing stillness that is offered here. Take a look at verses 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord. I know most of us like just to sit down and read our Bibles. You know, that's our personal quiet time. But that's not what this is talking about. Come, behold the works of the Lord. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you felt distant from God? I believe there's a correspondence between those two answers for us. Why? Because God has made clear, come, behold the works. Behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolation onto the earth. And right now you're like, whoa, what's that? Like, that sounds really negative. Look at this. He makes wars cease to end. Oh, that's the desolation, is he brings an end to those wars of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. It's speaking, by the way, of all the things that try to attack the city of God. It speaks to all the things that try to take you out. It speaks to all the things that are ruinous to your marriage. It speaks of all the things that are poisonous in your job. It speaks to all the things that just, I'm going to speak a different language here for a second, adults, that just suck about going to summer school and having to get right back into school the moment that it ended and having to go to pre-geometry and all those kinds of things. It speaks to these types of things, that in the midst of them, be still. Whew. Look at the wonders that God has worked. And compare and contrast those things with the stuff that's going on in the midst of your life. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. No matter what circumstances are happening around you, in the country, in the nation, in the wars that are happening against the city of God, no matter these things, no matter what happens on the earth that is catastrophic, that you cannot control, that will take you completely by surprise, God will be exalted in each one of these places. Don't wait till the end of time to experience the goodness of God in the midst of your life. The Lord of hosts, the Bible says, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is our protection. Selah. This intentional rest in God compares and contrasts our surprises, which aren't often surprises, but it compares them with God's works. I sat on the edge of the Merced River. You guys all know we've had one whale of a lot of, you know, rain and snow and water, so much so that they didn't even allow us to put rafts or go swimming in the Merced. The lake levels are Or the river levels are so high, they're coming over the tops of bridges and knocking poor defenseless bikers into the water. And just saying. But this intentional resting in God, when you're sitting out there on the side of the river, and I was with Melinda, and I was thinking about the flow of the river is like the grace of God. And the rock that I toss into the river that just disappears in an instant. That's the sin. The stuff that separates me from God in my life. It's gone. It's swallowed. It's history. The flow, that's the flow of God in the midst of my life. He promises rivers to flow from the midst of his city, his dwelling, his habitation, his tent, his people. If you're not experiencing this, I want to invite you in to be refreshed by it, to be washed in it, to experience it and to rest in God, to move by his rhythms, because I got to ask you, is it working for you? The rhythms that you decide are more important than the ones that God has established? These intentional rhythms of stillness and reflection, this rest in God, prevent life's repetitious surprises, and they provide protection and peace from unexpected chaos. At the very beginning of this psalm, did you notice? I skipped over the introduction. Did you see it though in your Bibles? To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. And Alamoth is probably just a musical term that has been lost throughout history, but the sons of Korah wrote this psalm. Do you know who the sons of Korah are? Way back at the time of Moses, one of three sons, there were three sons that were given a different responsibility for taking care of the temple or the tabernacle, the thing that wandered around in the desert. And so they had to, you know, different ones could do different things. Some of them carried in carts, but the Kohath, one of those sons, his family was responsible for the sacred things in the tabernacle, but they couldn't carry him in a cart because that would defile them. They had to carry him on their shoulders. And you know what happened over the generations? The children got mad because they're like, what the heck? Why do we have to keep working like this? Look, my uncle's family gets to carry things in carts. And look, they don't have to carry things that are as heavy as the stuff that we have to carry. We have to carry that stuff with our hands. We have to carry that stuff on our shoulders. And this is a big pain. And I don't like it. And eventually, some generations later, well, not some generations, one, two generations later, a son named Korah gathered 250 people with him and rebelled against Moses and said, you know what? We're sick and tired of carrying around everything. We want to be in the priesthood. We want to actually get to be on that side of the coin. We don't want to be setting up shop for everybody. We're tired of working in the sound booth. We don't like running the computer. We hate cleaning up the place. We don't want to put up stuff anymore. We're done with all this work. You know what we want to do? We want to be on the other side. You give us the microphone. We got this. And Moses said, okay, bring all your stuff, bring your family, and I want you to stand right there. And so all 250 of them with all their wives and all their children and everybody else, they're standing over there. The only people that are separated from that are just the babies, right? Because the babies are not responsible for what's going on with the dad and that kind of thing. And so they set everybody out there. And you know what Moses says? God, I'm not asking for you to strike them down. I'm asking for you to do something that is so beyond anything that has been ever done before. It's either their way or it's the way that you told me. God, do what you're going to do. And what does God do? He opens the earth up and swallows them into it. God opened the earth. The earth shook. The mountains trembled. It moved apart. And it says that it swallowed all of those people up and they fell into the abyss. They fell into the afterlife, literally. And they were separated forever. Nothing like that had ever happened before. Listen to this psalm that is written seven generations later by the sons of Korah. These are the little babies that would only hear about those stories. These are those sons. Do you know who Korah became? It says in the Old Testament that the sons of Korah became some of the mightiest fighting men in all of Israel. You know what else they did? They led the worship. Isn't that great? That worship leaders in the Bible are the feistiest fighters that you will ever find. They are tough, and you can tell them, you know what? I don't think you play that instrument well. And you know what they're going to tell you? You want to fight about it? Because I will kick your tail. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We will not fear, even though the earth gives way. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Is this not a looking back and saying, we see the failures of our fathers. We see what has happened in the past, and we will not live in that shadow. We will not, because God is our protection. He is our covering. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations will rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The sons of Korah went on to take care of all of the elements of the temple and did so with dignity, with honor, and with distinction. They embraced what God had given to them and they said, this is ours and we're going to do it well. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolation on the earth. Not desolation as you might expect. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. He has taken all of our enemies and made them nothing. This is Jesus on the cross, decimating the enemy. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts, Long Beach Alliance Church, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. He is our fortress. Rest in him. Father, we just got nothing to say. You are our God. We exalt your name. And we bring the significant catastrophes, the things that grip our lives, the surprises that keep happening. We bring all of the frailty of our knowledge of you. We bring all of it to you, God. And Father, I pray that we would rest in you and know that you are God no matter what happens around us. I thank you for this goodness. I thank you for how you remind us with every tree, with every flower, with every wave, with every mountain, with all of it, God. You remind us that you are just everywhere. And that you've called on us to rest in you. God, bring it to bear in our lives. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, amen. Let's stand and respond to him this morning. Pastor Scott began us here, and we will close here. Psalm 57. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is firm. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. God bless you. Go splash that onto everyone around you. Have a great Sunday afternoon.